confessing the wickedness of God's people Israel, lifting God up and praying unto the Lord and asking for God to keep his promise about the 70 years of captivity. Remember, Daniel was part of that entire 70 years of captivity, taken captive. And then when he prayed the prayer here in Daniel 9, he was in his 80s. So he got taken captive as a teenager. He's in his 80s. He's saying, Lord, the 70 years is up. So please keep your promise, which God did through Ezra and then Nehemiah, in allowing Israel to slowly go back into their own land. So we finished there in verse 19. We'll start here in verse 20. And God answered Daniel's prayer with one of the most important prophetic passages about future events. So notice verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So our title tonight is 70 weeks. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray now that you'd use your word in our lives to teach and grow us. Thank you for it. And thank you for your precious word. How amazing it is, Lord, that you've written all these events in the past and they always come to pass as exactly as you wrote them. And you've preserved that for us. We just thank you for how that builds our confidence in your precious word. So, Lord, bless us tonight. May we honor you through this message. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So, of course, he is praying about the kingdom. They always were wanting the kingdom. Notice in verse 20, at the end, he says, I put up my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. We know what that means. When they say the holy mountain, he's talking about God's kingdom. When will the kingdom come? Remember the last question the disciples asked Jesus in Acts chapter 1. What about the kingdom? When are we going to get our kingdom? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times. I want you to go and preach the gospel to every creature. Because we're entering a new age called the church age. And we see here in verse 21 that Gabriel is the one. Remember, Gabriel appeared to him at the beginning. And it was Gabriel again who came and gave him this amazing prophecy. And you also notice that always in the Bible, angels always appear as men. They don't have wings. They don't have long, flowing, golden hair. They always appear as men. It says the man, Gabriel. Verse 22, he said he came to give Daniel skill and understanding about the future of Israel. Remember, Daniel was praying primarily for Israel's captivity to be ended, but also about the kingdom. When do we get our kingdom, Lord? And I love what the angel said in verse 23, "Thou art greatly beloved." Wouldn't it be precious if God said that about us? Amen. That we were faithful to him, that we honored him with our lives. If you go to Ezekiel 14:14, just back to the left a little, God made a very interesting statement in the ministry of Ezekiel that's almost beyond comprehension when it comes to how much God loved Daniel. Notice what he says, Ezekiel 14:14. "Though these three men..." Now, this is God speaking. And he says, "Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God." So God, of the millions of people up to this point that this prophecy was given, God said, these three have been the greatest. These three have been very special to me. Noah, we all know the story of Noah. Daniel, who we're going through his life now. And, of course, Job. Job is a real person. Amen. That's not just a story. So Daniel, Noah, and Job. And then, of course, the other one is David, the man after God's own heart. But God himself said, even if those three men were there, I would not stop the chastisement that I'm going to pour out upon Israel. That was what he was saying to Ezekiel. So let's go to the prophecy itself and make sure we can grasp what he's trying to say, what he's saying here in verse 24. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon who? Thy people. So it's very important that we understand that the 70 weeks is Jewish. Amen? That's never changed. The church has not supplanted Israel. Israel is still God's chosen nation, and they will still get their kingdom and their land. And these 70 weeks were determined upon the Jews. Now, the 70 weeks are, as we know, as we study it out, 70 weeks of years. And an example of that is found in Numbers 14, if you want to turn there quickly. Numbers 14, verse 34. Just before Deuteronomy, Numbers 14:34, God very often did this when he talked about weeks. He meant weeks of years. So notice 14:34 of Numbers. He said, "After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise." So God often did it this way. And when he said 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, as we'll find, he meant 70 weeks of years. I don't have a calculator and I didn't write down the number, but whatever that number is, it'll be 69 times 7. 490, thank you. So 69 times 7 is 490. Thank you, Mark. Did you do that in your head? Oh, yeah. And then you got to subtract 7. So it's 483. If you look at history, 483 years from when the king said to Ezra, "Go back and rebuild Jerusalem," to the birth of Jesus Christ, it's 483 years. Is that possible outside of God's miraculous intervention? Absolutely not. People often wonder, how was it that when Pilate besought the wise men, "Well, when should this child be born? When should the Messiah, when should the King of the Jews come into the world?" How in the world did the wise men know? Daniel chapter 9. That's exactly how they knew. They were able to go back to Daniel chapter 9 and say, okay, he said 69 weeks, 483 years. When was Ezra told to go back and rebuild Jerusalem? And they were able to guess within a year or two when the Messiah should be born. Super important prophecy. And this is to, as it says in verse 20, to finish the transgression. The thing is, what they didn't see, and what of course we see, is that between 69 and 70, God put in this little parenthetical thing called the church, which has now been going for 2,000 years. That wasn't in the Old Testament. We know that because Paul said so. He said the Old Testament prophets did not even see the church, didn't know about the church. God knew about the church, and that's why he put a little break in between 69 and 70. But the Old Testament saints and prophets did not know. And we're still in between 69 and 70. Another reason why the tribulation period has to be Jewish, because it is the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. Therefore, it has to be Jewish, because it says it will determine upon thy people. And so this will make an end, notice it says in verse 24, an end of sins. Who made an end of sins? The Jewish God-man, Jesus Christ. Amen? He made an end of sins. And not only did he die for our sins and forgive the world through his sacrifice, but God, if you go to Romans chapter 11, God is going to give Israel, his people, a new heart after the 70th week. Notice Romans 11:26, this beautiful promise that Israel's been waiting on now for 3,000 years. That's how long it's been since David. Notice Romans 11:26, and so all Israel shall be saved. What a promise. He's quoting the Old Testament. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion on the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. And he's quoting Psalm 14. He's quoting Isaiah 27, where God says they will get a new heart and he will forgive them as a nation. Hasn't happened yet. First, the 70 weeks have to be determined upon the people and upon the holy city, Jerusalem, to finish their transgression. So yes, the 70 weeks of captivity ended, but God's chastisement has not ended. And if you go to Jerusalem, you can tell that is definitely true. Because right now, it's pretty much controlled by non-Jews. That's not how it's going to end up. And it says in verse 24, to make reconciliation for the iniquity, of course, talking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and to bring in what? What happens after the 70 years? Everlasting righteousness. That's the kingdom. That's what Israel's been waiting for. The kingdom. Everlasting righteousness. So, it says, and to seal up the vision prophecy and anoint the most holy. Of course, talking about the most holy place of the kingdom, which will be the throne of David in Jerusalem. So, verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, which, by the way, hadn't happened when this prophecy was given, unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, or 69 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troubled times. The Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. And again, if you look at history, exactly 483 years from the rebuilding of Jerusalem to Jesus, nobody saw the gap between the 69 and 70. Verse 26, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. This prince is not Jesus. This is not the big P prince. This is the little prince, prince of the power of the air, prince of this world. That prince shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. When will he do this? In the middle of the tribulation period. How do we know this? Verse 27. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now we already know the week represents 7 years. So let's go to Matthew chapter 24 now. And now Gabriel is giving Daniel the prophecy about the 70th week, the final week of Daniel's 70 weeks. Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Why do we call it the tribulation? Because Jesus called it the tribulation. Revelation 7, turn over there quickly, verse 14. Revelation goes further and calls it the Great Tribulation. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are saints that get saved during the tribulation period, and they get martyred for their faith, and they are saved like we're saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So back to our passage, verse 27. In the midst of the week. So something's going to happen in the middle of the 70th week. What's that? He shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading abominations he shall make it desolate. So in the middle of the tribulation, the devil makes things even worse for God's people, Israel. Now, if you're already in Revelation, look at chapter 11, and we'll see this. Verse 2, Revelation 11, verse 2. But the court which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city, same description that Daniel was given, shall they tread underfoot 42 months. That's exactly 3.5 years, isn't it? 42 months. Look at chapter 12, verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness. If you read chapter 12, the woman is Israel. And it says, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 1,260 days. Which is 3.5 times 360. The Jews use 360, not 365. And then chapter 13, verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Pretty clear, isn't it? So, go to Matthew 24 now again, verse 15, where Jesus talks about the middle of the tribulation period, 42 months. Things go from being bad to worse, going from tribulation to great tribulation. So what's going to happen is the first half of the tribulation, the devil's going to make it look like he's friendly with the Jews. Of course, that'll be through the Antichrist and the beast. And then halfway through the tribulation period, he turns on the Jews and starts attacking and wiping them out. We read about that in chapter 12, where the great dragon tries to kill them and God rescues some of them so that there can be a remnant that survives. But notice chapter 24, verse 15 of Matthew, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by who? Daniel the prophet, which we are now reading about tonight here in Daniel chapter 9. Stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. We talked about this passage. What's Jesus' advice? Run. Flee. That's the advice. If you aren't saved and you think you're saved and the rapture comes and they blame it on aliens, don't believe them. But you now have a manual on what to do. Flee. That's your only option. Flee. No, you have three options. You can take the mark and go to hell. You can stand and get your head cut off, or you can flee. That's your three choices. Jesus says, flee. So now let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where again we see in the middle of the tribulation period, the Antichrist will make it clear what he wants, and that is worship. Let no man, chapter 2, verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians 2, 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So God had this all planned out. Man didn't see it. The early disciples didn't see it. They didn't understand. They just preached to Jews and thought it was all about the Jews. And then this other guy gets called of God and starts witnessing to Gentiles and starting Gentile churches. And they initially gave Peter and then eventually Paul a really hard time about preaching to Gentiles. They thought, what is wrong with you? They're dogs. They're all supposed to go to hell. And aren't you thankful that that wasn't the attitude of Paul? Because we wouldn't be here tonight if it had been. And they didn't realize this isn't a Jewish dispensation. This is a whole new thing called the body of Christ, the church. And we're in between the 69th and the 70th week. This isn't Jewish. Prior to now was, and after now will be, the 70th week. But now is this parenthetical thing. We don't know how long it's going to be. I said 2,000. It could be 3,000. I'm not making a prediction. But 70 weeks were determined upon who? Israel. 69 weeks to the Messiah, and then 1 week where the Antichrist gets to have his short little heyday that he's been waiting for. And then Jesus, of course, will come back. Go to Revelation 19 and we'll close there. Jesus will come back and end all of that. Revelation 19. If you're ever discouraged, just go to Revelation 19 and read about yourself. Verse 11, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and him that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. So we all know who this is. This is Jesus. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. There you are. You can write your name in there. Amen. That's us coming back with Jesus. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's our righteousness that we got from Jesus Christ when we got saved. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress in the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse. This is the devil's last attempt to fight Christ and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before them, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So it's obvious which side of that battle you want to be on. Amen? You want to be on the side of the one on the white horse with the many crowns, whose name is called the Word of God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And he's the one that comes and puts an end to the 70 weeks. We don't know when that 70th week's going to be. We know it hasn't happened yet. We know that it's very unique, as Jesus said. Not since the beginning of human history will it be as bad as it will be during that 7 years. Jesus said that. It'll be worse than it's ever been. Pick any world war, pick any world anything, it'll be worse. So get saved so you don't have to be there. Amen? And tell others so they can be saved and not have to be there. But 70 weeks, God laid it all out when the Messiah would come, and the Messiah came exactly when he was supposed to come. Of course he did. This is God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and how beautiful.